Should I get started?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Where is your hometown?
Hometown means in the current places?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I live in Los Angeles, you know, right by the Century City Mall.
How long have you lived there?
Oh, I lived there about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before this residence, I used to live in downtown LA as well.
Uh-huh. Where did you grow up?
Oh, I grew up back in Seoul, Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Korea till 1999, and then I came to the States, and I mostly spent and used live in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 7 years ago, I settled down in LA.
Why did you move to the U.S.?
Two things, basically. For my self in a career change.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one would be for my, you know, children's better education environment.
Do you ever go back to Korea?
Oh, yeah, I travel to Korea, you know, on and off.
Mm-hmm.
For visiting.
What's your favorite part about living in Los Angeles?
And, you know, needless to say, it's a diverse city.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the first, you know, the part that I really like in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
In general, in the States, you know, we can see all the diversities, but L.A. especially, you know, mm-hmm. City of Angels has a really good mix of diversity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, currently we are experiencing, you know, kind of another some, you know, mm-hmm. social, you know, issues
mm-hmm.
Among just, you know, the people.
Have you seen any changes in California throughout the years you've lived here?
Yeah, I haven't seen so many changes, you know, since I came to the States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first thing is, you know, all the environment, you know,
mm-hmm.
is getting worse, you know. Lots of changes, you know,
mm-hmm.
traffic, pollution, you know,
mm-hmm.
Is really getting worse.
Definitely.
Those are the very visible and rapid changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, you know, people's behavior,
mm-hmm.
social conduct, you know, number of people really getting impatient, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are not good at just, you know, managing the anger, you know, mm-hmm. social anger, you know, a lot of things. So those, you know, some rapid environment changes, there's some, you know, and the people's, you know, social behavior changes are two big things in my mind
mm-hmm.
over the past, you know, 10 years.
How did living in Korea and growing up there affect who you are today?
Probably you guys cannot understand, you know, the
mm-hmm.
living environment, you know,
uh-huh.
In Korea when I was young, and just, you know, it was brutal,
mm-hmm.
you know. We didn't have enough food, and we didn't have any, just, you know, enough support, you know,
mm-hmm.
to have extra, you know, studies, you know. Everything was challenged, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough transportation, not enough, you know, health, you know. Not enough money, not enough food, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we have to develop ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now, you know, part-time is the popular here, but, you know, even during those days, you know, to make a tuition, you know,
uh-huh.
we had to work hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then even one day, you know, enjoying ice cream was one of my dreams. You know, oh shit, if I have money ever, you know, I want to enjoy ice cream as much as I could, you know, something like that. So, even for example, one big example would be like not even ice cream, just you know, ice. Ice was really hard to get.
Wow.
So during hot summer, can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think that represents how hard it was to live in those days.
How did you like stay motivated and get through it all?
I always wanted to give just 100% credit to my mom and dad, you know?
Yeah.
They've been sacrificing themselves for a better future of their kids, which I'm doing the same here as a first generation of immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to give them just, you know, visualize their future dream, right? So I think that having a just family dream, you know, for the future was a big motivation, you know, and also a passion to go through.
Do you work in Koreatown?
Yes, I have a small office in Koreatown as well.
How long have you worked there?
Since I moved here, so about 3 years.
What's your favorite part of your job?
I'm managing a small, you know, the medical device company.
Uh-huh.
So I always, you know, personally, I like and I'm proud of just helping people because our medical device is designed for, you know, patient better outcomes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's why I like the most part of my job.
Do you have any stories from, like, your work that are interesting or memorable?
It's a little bit just, you know, a little while ago, but I set up my own, you know, startup in this business area. Started from the scratch with a couple of doctors. To come up with inventive, you know, ideas. And then we were able to commercialize it and also secure the U.S. patent as well.
Oh, wow.
And then it worked very well, and the patients were really happy with the new concept because we tried to change the existing environment. And the concept, and it worked very well. And then a few years later, we were able to sell the company to a big giant, which was Johnson & Johnson. So about 5 years in a startup work experience was more than great to enjoy, even though there are so many ups and downs.
Did you go to college?
I went to college when I was in Korea. And after I just came to the States, I attended law school.
Was that difficult?
It was hard. Because I was 36 years old when I started just in the first year of law school. Can you imagine that? 36 years old.
Wow. Did you always have an interest in law?
Not always, you know, but I was interested in, you know, one particular, you know, specific area, which was intellectual property law. But in the intellectual property means, as you know, there are trademarks like software, like you know, copyright or patent. Yeah, those are the three big areas in intellectual property.
What is a moment in your life that you're most proud of?
I think when I graduated from law school and I was 37 years old. because that was very, it's not that common for common people, right? And, that was really just the moment that I'm proud of and also my family are proud of.
What other jobs have you had before the one you have now?
Mostly I was a businessman in a big conglomerate in a business group. What else? You know, I was a little bit actor, you know, for 6 months. non-paid. I got to know that I don't have a causing talent, and I will not likely make any success. So I gave up.
Were you in anything that I might have heard of, or someone might?
No. I wish, but I made a, you know, like indie, you know, independent movie, like, you know, 30 minutes long, you know, movie with a young guy. I was an actor, but still, I kept my film, the copy of my film, you know. but, you know, I realized this film will not be my direction, you know. But the good news is, you know, all my colleagues, you know, and in that movie made a success. I changed to my career to a lawyer, then I went back to business and made my own startup, and that's still. Oh, also, I am an angel investor, so I am helping young guys, you know, to develop the ideas. And the one more occupation that I was in, you know, I was a professor at the graduate and colleges back in Korea.
What are your thoughts on Koreatown?
As far as I understand, there have been a lot of changes as an area, you know, a place to live in. Now, in general, K-Town has a lot of just, you know, the projects to build up, you know, residential apartments, condos, in a modern way. So that's a really, really big change. So I think, when I speak of the Koreatown, you know, now, it has all the mixed cultures with the right level of, you know, the residents. With the really better just, you know, conditions to live in. In general, you know, community is growing up, not only as just, you know, the culture, you know, center, but also it is a good place to live in South LA.
What have you noticed about Koreatown?
As we know, you know, lots of changes in terms of generation has made a lot of just, you know, changes that I noticed. Like, even now I'm working with the young people in K-Town. That, just, you know, draws me into a really different, you know, area. So always young generation can change and in a very significant way. So Koreatown is not only for the old generation, but for the, you know, new generation. So I'm excited about that.
When did you hear about Koreatown?
Oh, it was a long time ago. Like it was mid-1980s. Almost 50 years ago.
What did you think about it when you heard what it was?
The first thing was, you know, I heard that, as soon as I heard from K-Town in L.A., that I had a mixed feeling. As a Korean, immigrant, they might be really kissing a good community for, you know, aliens. But on the other hand, you know, it would be tough to make a real life and living in the States.
What was your first impression of Koreatown?
And honestly, no, when my first impression was not that great. Because still, it looked like a really, you know, old town in terms of infrastructure. So it was not that modernized. And, you know, extra years of just in all towns, you know, homes and buildings and streets, look like in the old days. But that was my first impression.
What's your first memory of Koreatown?
It is a scary moment that I had. It was in the middle of the night. And then when I walked around the government and Olympic, you know, it was scary, you know, because all the just in the shop were closed before 10 p.m. It was dark. So that was my, you know, first experience in K-Town.
How would you describe Koreatown to someone who's never been to Koreatown?
You know, thankfully, you know, BTS, you know, is a great, just, you know, the tools, you know, to introduce, you know, Korean K-pop culture to just, you know, all the country. And also, Netflix is another just been a good advocate in terms of Korean drama and the Korean food as well. So when I want to introduce Koreatown, you know, I always tell them that, hey, this is a miniature of just being a Korean culture is combined. So please, let's taste the Korean food and Korean just being a people. And one of the biggest cities in the States, right? For Korean folks.
What does Koreatown mean to you?
K-Town is like a hometown. Home country. It's always when it starts from K, means like, oh, it gives me a homesickness. And then it gives me comfort as well.
What do you think makes Koreatown unique?
I think it's still another, you know, a little bit further to go, you know, to make it perfect. But K-Town just has, you know, some cultures. So that makes it unique.
Do you have a favorite place in Koreatown?
I like all the different types of just, you know, Korean agricultural offerings at supermarkets.
I was wondering if you have a favorite restaurant, like a or market in Koreatown?
The one restaurant that I like is Gangwon-dong Baekjeong. And supermarket-wise, you know, H-Mart would be my pick.
Do you have a specific memory from a place in Koreatown that's special to you?
I like the, you know, some restaurants for offering the all the, you know, Korean food, the authentic food. But you know, after this COVID, you know, I have hard time to visit in K-Town, quite frankly.
Do you have a favorite Korean dish or food?
My favorite is, I have two things. One is Korean BBQ. And the other one is Korean tteokbokki.
What does it mean for you to live a meaningful life?
Meaningful life means always, I think, you know, the life that we can live together with someone. Regardless it's a family, friends, neighbors, if you have a good relationship with someone around you, will be really meaningful. Otherwise, it's going to be meaningless if you don't have a good relationship around you.
How many kids do you have?
How many kids? I have three.
How old are they?
The first one just turned 30. Second son is 28.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest is 26 years old.
Where does your family live?
I have been four brothers and one sister. But including me, three boys live in Southern California. But still, one brother and one sister live in Korea with my mom.
Are you close with your family?
I think so. You mean physically or mentally?
Mentally.
Mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
How has it been being stuck inside during COVID?
Sometimes I feel like guilty because I am doing nothing during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I try to find, I should be able to find something to have. To help somebody, to help something, you know, but virtually, you know, there's nothing for me to just get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes I feel guilty, you know, or selfish, you know. Mm-hmm. I try to protect myself and my family itself, but I wish I could do something different, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you picked up any hobbies, like, during time?
Yes. I need pressure, so, you know, try to play golf.
Uh-huh.
And then also trying to practice a guitar.
Oh.
I used to play guitar when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I went to college, I stopped.
Uh-huh.
So it's been almost, you know, a revisit after 40 years.
Uh-huh.
Usually, you know, people start playing guitar, you know, during high school, middle school. And then, you know, once you go to college, you'll be busy.
What is giving you comfort and hope during this time?
I don't think I have that to find the comfort, but I try to find comfort, you know. Two things, you know. Physically, when I just, you know, walk around, you know, our town, you know, by myself for fresh air, you know, that is a moment that I can try to feel the comfort. But mentally, when I speak with, especially when I exchange the kind of, you know, trivia with my family members,
mm-hmm.
and some, you know, close friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
that was a really good moment of discomfort that I've been enjoying.
How often do you go outside and, like, see people?
Oh, every day, morning and evening, well, evening, at least, like, twice a day.
What do you do outside?
You know, just, you know, walking around, you know, while listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
That is the morning activities. And late afternoon, early evening, you know, I am walking while I am praying for my families and for the world, etc.
Is, like, faith and religion something that's really important to you?
Yes. you know, social relationship with people around me, and also relationship with God. I think those are the two reasons that I have to, that why I leave. But two, those, you know, big factors of my life, you know, really affected by COVID, because, you know, socialization of people is not almost allowed other than digital. Also, even I am attending the mass, online mass, you know, through YouTube.
Do you have a specific story or memory from this time in quarantine that stands out and, like, will stick with you afterwards?
Not much, but through, you know, Zoom meeting, it was really good, you know, moment, because we can have a just lengthy meeting through Zoom, because it's not a face-to-face meeting. You know, they are more openly just talk. So, for example, now I got to know mostly everything about my daughter's boyfriend, who they are, what are they interested in, you know, what they're doing. So, there's another story that I would like to remember.
How are you staying, like, motivated and happy through this?
In my view, you know, in some sense, it is a really good stoppage, you know, for mankind in the world, you know. We need to think about, you know, what should be kept, what should be not kept, such as, you know, environment-wise, you know, we've been overusing lots of things, you know. So it is a good moment to rethink, to think about, you know, what should be done, what should be not done, you know. Even though it is like a really, you know, dark, you know, storm, but, you know, we should be able to go through it. So, and especially personally, so I try, I'm trying to throw out all unnecessary items. For example, so I try to go back to kind of the minimalism, the life of the minimalism. This, you know, COVID is really, drawing me in a bad, you know, direction, you know. So I would say this is another benefit of, I wouldn't say it's a benefit, but it's a kind of blessing moment from this COVID to think about and motivate toward, you know, what the real life should be.
What's the biggest way your life has changed through this pandemic?
First of all, I would say it is disconnection with people. Even though the Zoom is everywhere, so we can communicate it, but I would say this connection or this communication with the people is the most impact on life. I think just church, you know. We cannot attend the church. I cannot just, you know, socialize with all the friends around me, you know. Only a few people that we can connect or make a phone call.
What's your biggest struggle right now in terms of COVID?
A little bit of just, you know, financial impact on the business that I'm running. Obviously, right? And then second one is, you know, really just a restriction of the travel, international and even domestic, you know. Like we can't take any flight. We can't even just, you know, I want to visit my kids as much as I can, you know, but if they live in San Francisco, you know, also I want to visit my mom, actually, who lives in Korea, but I cannot. So what if something happens, right? So, even though if it's confusing, I cannot, actually, end of just May 30th, one of my best friends passed away.
Oh, wow.
system, you know, the 14 days mandatory quarantine, you know, mm-hmm. should be placed. So that was sad.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. What does it feel like to be a parent during COVID?
That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. The first feeling that I got is the fact that I have to admit that there's nothing for me that I can do for my kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, other than just, you know, financial support of things. As I mentioned, they live away from L.A. They live in San Francisco, three of them. But, oh, man, it's I really feel the just weakness of the human beings, even as parents, other than just calling, telling them, you know, not to do, but there's nothing that for me that I can go beyond, you know, take. So at the beginning, I was so sad, you know, when I felt that there's nothing that I can do, and then when I recognize weakness of the human beings, that, you know, I am sending just a text message every day,
mm-hmm.
And just, you know, pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I really realize that, you know, okay, humans are all independent, even regardless of the relationship between parents and kids, you know. And I think they also recognize, you know, this unchangeable, just, you know, the fact that humans are all independent, you know. So uh-huh. it was kind of sad. And who knows, it'll give them a more strength as an independent person.
Are you feeling like scared or bored, or like, what's your main emotions during COVID?
Yeah, as I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, you know, mm-hmm. It gives me a very clear, you know, direction
uh-huh.
and feeling, which is, okay, when we created by God, you know, okay, what should be done? What should be kept, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to help others, and, you know, protect others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only protecting yours and your family. So those, as long as, you know, those principles are very well, just, you know, disciplined, you know, just, you know, the practice, you know, disciplined manner, mm-hmm. even the spread of COVID-19 will be much, much just, you know, will just, you know, reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so we have to help others. So, you know, very simple, the more simple our life it is, the better outcome we will enjoy in our walk.
Mm-hmm.
So likewise, you know, for my kids, you know, okay, why, what is your dream, guys? Making money, being healthy, you know, lots of just questions, you know, should be answered during this COVID. I think they realize what is important for our life.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just gave me a very positive, just, you know, the moment in that way. Sit back and think again, think just, you know, twice, and what is the important in our life.